The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Well, we had said there was going to be a lot of growing pains. I don't know that we anticipated to this level. There were certainly some alarming things that we saw tonight, but the overall picture, I don't want to dismiss what you saw, but I think it's important to hear what Adrian Griffin had to say after the game, and that there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And we heard that coming into the season as well. We preach that and trying to make it clear, look, this isn't going to be a flip the switch and Dame and Giannis are going to average 80 points a game. This team is just going to steamroll people. I think the offense is eventually going to get there. It's still figuring itself out. But our big question coming in was, where can this defense finish? Because if they finish in the bottom half, as good as your offense is, that's going to create a lot of problems. And that's what we saw tonight. Yeah, the Bucks were not shooting great. The Raptors were seemingly hitting everything early. The Bucks were not. And it felt like you stepped into quicksand to open up this game. But in that third quarter, when almost inexplicably the Bucks were down by 13 and you started to think, man, are they actually going to come back in this game? It wasn't because they caught fire, and they did. Raptors went 0 of 8 on threes in that fourth quarter, 0 of 7 until the very last shot. When Scotty Barnes hit a big three that made it a 13-point game, took it from 13, made it a 16-point game, it really felt like that was the knockout punch. But the problem was the Bucks were taking the ball out of the net. They could not get stops. And even when you get hot and you're scoring, you can't trade baskets, especially when you're down double digits. So the defense continues to be an issue with this group. And again, that's the biggest area that is going to take time. I know a lot of you don't want to hear that. It may sound like we're covering up for the team, for the coach, but it's just going to take time. We mentioned the comparisons between this year's team and the 2021 team. It took time that year. You got an NBA championship that season, but it wasn't until the All-Star break. That last game against the Memphis Grizzlies, where Drew Holiday hits that game winner, that was when it started to feel like, okay, something is building here, and I feel like this team is turning the corner. There was a lot of defensive confusion that year as well. Because sure, you had Bud, and you had the same system for the third year in a row, but they were tweaking it. And really, it was Drew Holiday's addition that forced them to change it the most. That was the year we started to see more switching. It wasn't just the traditional, we're only running the drop defense, and that's it. We're not going to adjust. We're not going to make any in-game changes here. We're not going to game plan. We're running the drop defense. This is what we're doing. We're good at it. Deal with it. Early in that season, there was a moment similar to this, and really similar to what we saw against the Atlanta Hawks on Sunday night as well. But there was a game against the Utah Jazz, where the Jazz absolutely destroyed the Bucks. Now, we saw that a lot in the Quinn Snyder era. But the Jazz came to Milwaukee, and they picked the Bucks apart. I remember that game vividly because, again, a lot of what we saw tonight, a lot of what we saw Sunday against the Hawks is what we saw in that game. But I remember that because that was the first game where we heard Drew Holiday a little more outspoken. So that was game number 9 that season. 131-118. Jazz come to Fiserv Forum, pick apart the Bucks. Put the Bucks to 5-4 on the season. And I point that one out because after that game, that's when we heard Drew Holiday come forward and say, look, we have to do things differently. And I tried to convey, I played that team a lot. I'm coming from the Western Conference, years with the New Orleans Pelicans. I have played the Utah Jazz. I've played a lot of these teams we're about to see. The Dallas Mavericks were a couple of games after that. They eked out a win there. But Drew's point was, we got to bend a little bit here. Like, I understand this is how this team operates and this is the system they run. We gotta implement some of this stuff. We gotta switch. We saw the Bucks start to switch more. We saw Drew Holiday utilized a little differently. And before you knew it, the team was 5-4, started to build a little bit. They took a step backwards. But again, that All-Star break, the win over the Grizzlies, it put the Bucks to 22-14 on the season. And remember, that was a shortened season. They closed out the regular season at 46-26. 24-12, I beg your pardon, to close out that second half of the season. Not great, very good. They started to round into form. I think that's the timeline we're looking at with this, because there is just so much more change than what we saw in 2021. It may be quicker than that, but I think if we're going to level set after four games, I think that's where we're at. It's going to take as much time as what we saw in 2021. And maybe that comes down to, look, I know this is the system Adrian Griffin wants to run. I think the young guys fit that system very, very well. You got other guys that maybe not so much. And this may be, you use the term soul searching quite a bit. There's certainly soul searching for the players. As Adrian Griffin said, look, it's best that this happens four games into the season than in the playoffs, than after the All-Star break. But losing like this can be good. It forces you to pay attention and execute it and really focus on the details. And I think it's not just the players. That could apply to the coaching staff as well, that it's, this is what we want to do. Maybe we can't do that yet, right? Every coach is faced with that at some point. Ideally, if I could run my perfect system, this is what we're going to do. Maybe I have 80% of the personnel for it and I don't have 100%. So I'm going to have to give a little bit as well. We may get there. But the point of it, long story short, is this is going to take time. Am I panicked? No. We heard that from Adrian Griffin as well. But tonight might have been a realization of, we threw around 20 games, 30 games, maybe it's somewhere there. Tonight was the, well, maybe it's going to be even more time. Maybe this is going to be a half-season thing before this team finally starts to feel comfortable in this scheme. But it comes down to the defense. And I know we heard from Griff saying all the right things about, I got to do a better job to help Giannis, to help Dame Lillard when they're throwing bodies at him. If you're throwing multiple looks, somebody's going to be open, but I got to do a better job of figuring out how we can really take advantage of that. There are some things to iron out with the offense. It comes down to the defense. Because if you're giving up 130 points to a team, no disrespect, to a Raptors team, that is not a very good offense. This team, and I know it's a small sample, was dead last in the NBA in offense, and half-court offense especially. And the Bucks made them look like they were the best offense in the league. That's, again, not concerning, but that's the thing to really address and clean up. So it's going to come down to the defense, and it's going to be, can we get this to adequate, right? If we can get into the top 10, outstanding. But all along, we tried to say, look, if you can finish 12, 13, somewhere around there, and just continually get better on the defensive end of the floor, continue to get better in the postseason, that's going to be the big thing. Because you can't just outscore teams. You got to score, and I think that was the impetus for the Dame Lillard trade. Defense is great. You hear the old line of defense wins championships. We've seen championship-level defense the last three seasons, and you got one title to show for it. You ultimately have to score the basketball. So that's why you go out and you get Damian Lillard. And the prevailing thought all along within the league, within league circles, is, look, you can take an average defense and you can probably make it above average. You can take an okay, a so-so defense and make it average. can take a very good defense and make it great. It's harder to do that with offense, in the playoffs at least. So that's why you went out and you got Damian Lillard. You got time to fix the defense, but that's where you got to start. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Your thoughts on this one tonight? A lot to pick apart. We got time for that. We talked about this a little bit earlier in the week, but I do also want to get to the in-season tournament because I had the chance to sit in on a call with members of the league yesterday to go through some of the details for the in-season tournament and hear how some of this is going to work. You know the high-level story to this, but some more details around what you're going to see starting Friday night. We'll get to that after this on Bucks Talk. .130 to .111 is our final score. And look, ever the optimist, as you know I am, could be worse. You could have lost by 51 points to the Boston Celtics, as the Indiana Pacers did. And that's, look, four games for the Bucks. We're four or five games for most teams at this point. The Celtics are the only team that has jumped out of, man, that team is, that team looks pretty good. Other than that, Philadelphia 70, well, I ruined it, but I was going to say, who do you think has the second best record in the East? It's way too early for this to matter because we just hit November, but who do you think has the second best record in the Eastern Conference? Ooh. How bad did you do in school? I literally just gave you the answer.
The Philadelphia 76ers.
Philadelphia 76ers are 2-1. The Atlanta Hawks are 3-2. You got a handful of teams that are 2-2, and then you got the Celtics that are 4-0.
I mean, it's early. No one's really taking any of this into account.
I'm going to go
right
out on a limb and say the Celtics are going to be good consistently.
Sure, but are we ready for the Atlanta Hawks to be the 3 seed? Absolutely not.
I wouldn't rule it out.
I don't know if they're going to be a top 5 seed.
It is very early. And, look, the important thing is just get the defense set. Like, I think anybody in Portland would tell you, we talked with Chad Dewing on the season preview show, and he kind of laid that out as well. Dame has been known to get off to slow starts. I don't think he's been bad. He had one bad game. Very bad game. The worst game of his career. But I don't think overall Dame Lillard has been bad. I think if you look at the box score, you would say, well, I thought we'd get a little bit more from Dame Lillard. Kind of how he starts at times. He's going to be fine. Giannis is going to be fine. Chris Middleton is going to be playing more than 17 minutes a game. The offense isn't where my concern is. It was always the defense. And the main point was it was going to take time. And I think your takeaway tonight, if you can jump to a conclusion after just 4 games, which I would advise you not to do, but if you must, the takeaway would be maybe it's going to take a little more time than we thought for this to continue to build and to get right on the defensive end of the floor. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight, the old National Bank talk and text line. If you got a thought about the performance we saw tonight or the performance we've seen for the aggregate of 4 games thus far, or a question about the in-season tournament, we will tackle that as it begins Friday night. Chance to see the new court as well. We'll get into all things in-season tournament, IST, after this on Bucks Talk. .19 loss in Toronto tonight for the Bucks. Not a whole lot to pull from this one. So, in the roughly 20 minutes we have left, we will use that to get you set. Your super extended gamer preview of the in-season tournament, the IST. It starts on Friday night. Tommy Wirtz, what questions do you have about the NBA in-season tournament, the NIST?
Okay, so how long do the group stages go before we get to
ridiculous
the
ridiculous question. You can Google it and find out yourself. The group play takes place the entire month of November.
Okay.
So,
how many teams are in our group?
Right. Oh my God.
I feel like these are very basic questions you should have came ready for.
Each group consists of five teams. Okay. So you will play four games, two at home, two on the road. The Bucks have the Knicks, the Washington Wizards, the Charlotte Hornets, and the Miami Heat. So their home games, I believe, I know it's the Knicks.
Yep,
I know the Heat are a road game. I believe the Wizards is their other home game in the group stage. And the Charlotte Hornets are, I think that's the 17th that they're in Charlotte for a group play. So here's the things to know. If you go 4-0, you are going to be advancing into the knockout round. If you go 3-1, there's a pretty good chance you're going to advance. The way this works is there are three groups in each conference. So you got 15 teams, you got groups of five, you got three of them. Bucks are in Group B. If you finish with the best record in your group, you advance to the knockout round. So you'll get three teams advancing in each conference there. One wild card from each conference as well. The wild card will come from the team with the best record that did not win their group. So you may say, well, four games, that's not really a lot. How many tiebreakers are we going to go to for this? Like, I've seen playoffs the last weekend of the regular season. I've seen in the NFL when we got, here's, you know, scenario B and C and D, and it comes down to what's the record of the teams that you beat and yada, yada, yada. The league made it simple. And this, to me, is going to give us the most intriguing aspect of this tournament. Head-to-head, if that can solve it, it will. In terms of winning your group play, it won't have anything to do with who gets the wild card because you're only playing teams within your group. So during this in-season tournament, it's not the entire month, but it lasts. These games will be spread out through November. So it's Fridays and Tuesdays. Those are group play days. The way they will determine a tiebreaker for who gets that wild card. If you can't determine it with a head-to-head, in other words, if you have all teams in the group go 2-2, the tiebreaker is going to be point differential. So in other words, what the Boston Celtics did tonight, winning by 51 points, if you blow teams out, you're going to advance. And the way it was described when we had this the Zoom call yesterday was that was the thinking behind it of let's really see how teams handle this. Are you going to say we want to advance and we want to win this thing? Because I got to believe, I know there's going to be a trophy. And by the way, you can see what the trophy looks like on the court, which we'll get to in a second. You'll see a new alternate court on Friday night at Fiserv Forum. You'll get a trophy, and I've got to believe you're going to hang a banner in the rafters for whoever wins this. Why are you rolling your eyes?
It seems like a
Mickey Mouse.
I hated the wild card, too. Can we go back to just two divisions and
the,
they the play
The only
each
incentive,
other?
If I'm not mistaken, is cash, which
the only incentive.
It's great for guys who are lower
the
on the bench.
Is pride and competition.
Oh, okay. So if you get knocked out in the knockout stage, do you lose a regular season game or
They count as regular season games?
Right. Yes. So if you're going to the knockout stages and you're advancing, are you playing more playing less because you get knocked out?
The teams that play in the championship will play 83 games. Every other team plays 82, so
okay.
Those other teams will just play each other.
So the teams that advance to the knockout when you're eliminated.
In Vegas, like a neutral site to like make it up? Or
home site, so higher seeds. So that's why, as you look at the Bucks' schedule and you see that first week of December, like, do they really have a week off? No, because it's all TBD. Because the semifinals and everything else is going to take place, I think, December 7th and 9th is the semifinals and the championship game. And the days preceding that are when you would have the quarterfinal losers playing each other and filling out the rest of the schedule to get to your 82 games. So that was the thought, was if we do this, let's see how teams handle this. Are they going to say, we're up by 22 in the fourth quarter. We don't need to risk, I'm not even going to mention a name for sake of karma, but we don't need to risk this player going down to an injury. Let's call off the dogs and pull them out. Or do you say, point differential is the tiebreaker. Let's see if we can get this thing up to 35 points, and we're keeping them out there.
Do you think buzz around the league is very high on this IST right now?
Like,
your initial reaction.
Like with what? With players?
With teams. Are teams invested in this in-season tournament?
Every coach has said the right thing of, we play to win. And if you, Adrian Griffin said, I know they get a trophy. I want a trophy, so we'll do that. Nick Nurse said the same thing, and you know, Nick Nurse spent a lot of time coaching in Europe, which this is modeled after with international soccer. I know you're not a fan of that, and dare I say despise it, but...
I didn't say that.
I said it for you, but this is modeled after that. Look, I think we can laugh it off, and we can say, well, who really cares about an in-season tournament? Who cares about a trophy? Who cares about a banner that says... NIST, NBA in-season tournament.
Oh, okay. I was wondering where you got
the
end.
Who cares about any of that, right? But the fact of the matter is, these are still competitors. I think, look, there's going to be some blowouts.
Is there going to be champagne?
I would hope so.
Okay.
I think once you get to Vegas, which is where the semifinals and the championship game will be, you're going to really see the competition. And here's the other thing. There's going to be a handful of teams that, look what the Bucks are going through now. The Bucks are the favorites to win their group, but we said it's going to take time. And the in-season tournament is right away when this team is still working through things. Maybe they don't win their group. Maybe they don't get a wild card. And maybe it's not the Miami Heat or the Knicks. Maybe somehow the Charlotte Hornets come out of this. Like, man, remember that run the Hornets had where they beat those three teams? They got to 3-1 and they advanced from the group stage. If that happens, if you have a team like that, even as you get late into this in-season tournament, if you have a team that hasn't tasted a whole lot of success recently and they have a chance to advance, I don't want to make light of it, but it's going to feel like a playoff game for that team. And it's especially for the fans before you move to the neutral site in Vegas to think, man, this is like a playoff experience. We haven't had this in years. So I think you're going to have that element. And look, when you're competing for something that isn't just a regular season game, when those competitive juices are flowing, when it's a close game, you're going to see that level of competition come out from the players. So I don't envision what we see here is going to be the go-forward, be-all, end-all, and nothing is going to change. Just look at the play-in tournament. Everybody laughed at that. Everybody hated that. LeBron James hated it. Said, I want to find the guy that thought of this, and I want him fired. Like, this should not happen. Oh, by the way, LeBron James and his Lakers only got to the conference finals last year because of said play-in tournament. We went from that, where it was just, you're only playing for the eighth seed. You have to be within, what was it, five games of the team, or within five games of 500, something like that. In the Eastern Conference, we didn't even have a play-in game that first year because the East 8-9 seed wasn't close enough to the 8 seed. It was just, what was it, the Blazers and Grizzlies, I think, was our first play-in tournament game. And then it evolved into what it is now, where it's 7 through 10, and the league can tout it as a success because we gave you one finals representative in the Miami Heat. We gave you the Heat and the Lakers both winning playoff series. This is here to stay. We tweaked it, and we feel like it's in a pretty good spot right now. I think you're going to see the same thing with this play-in tournament. And especially if it isn't a Boston Celtics, a Bucks, a Lakers, a team like that, a Miami Heat. If it's not one of those types of teams that ends up winning this or advancing into the semifinals, I think you're really going to see the importance placed on this and teams saying, you know what? I like what we're doing here. So again, it starts Friday. Some other unique things you'll see with it. Literally see on the floor. We'll tell you after this and wrap up the show on Bucks Talk. Hey, we got a good thing. Don't know if I'ma see you again. But is that a good thing? 'Cause girl, I can't be your man. All right, the big thing you will see in this in-season tournament on Friday, a brand new court. Have you seen this court?
I have not.
If you go to NBA.com, you can see all 30 courts. So the league instructed teams, don't like do grays and pick your basic color. Like, we want this to be vibrant. The Lakers court is like all yellow. So all these courts have one color running down the center of the floor from lane to lane, 16 feet wide. They all have the team logo at center court in front of the NBA in-season trophy as well. And one big contrasting color in the center of the floor. For the Bucks, that color is like a teal. And their court is cream-colored with blue trim. So I'm sure...
Those are cool.
If you're internet savvy, you've probably seen the leaks for the City Edition jerseys. The Bucks, by the way, will be wearing their City Edition jersey on Friday night. It'll be the first time we officially get to see it. All I can say is if you're a Reddit sleuth or somebody that's been on the internet a lot and on the dark webs and digging for City Edition jerseys, what has been floated out there is accurate. So the Bucks will be wearing that jersey on Friday. You'll see the brand new court as well. Some of them are pretty cool, as you noted. I don't mind the Bucks. Cream colored. Interesting color choices, but the blue trim, would you call that a teal?
Yeah, aqua or something aqua, like that. Teal. Yeah.
Some of them are very interesting. Like that, have you seen the Lakers one yet?
Yeah, I got them all up right here.
Very, very yellow.
What's the purple? Is that
I believe that's the Pelicans.
I like that one. That one pops.
That one pops. The Timberwolves have like a sky blue type of thing.
Oh, the Pelicans have like the dark purple. There's like a light purple one.
That may be the Timberwolves.
I think it's the Suns.
The Suns have...
say Valley?
Yeah, it's for the Valley.
Yeah, so I think it's the Suns one. It's got like purple and blue.
So we'll get to see that court. You'll get to see all of them starting Friday. So every Friday throughout November... And Tuesdays, every Tuesday, but this upcoming Tuesday, because there are no games, the league once again is scheduling no games on the day of an election. In-season tournament, scale of 1 to 10, your level of excitement. Before you give that, I'm going to guess. I'm not going to tell you what I think the number
okay,
is.
Okay, I'll hold a number up behind my back.
All right, I got it. Wow, I had a 5 was my guess for you.
No, I got to see it first going into it. A 2 is keeping the expectations low so I can be wowed, but I think if they did it for something that was even more important, it would leave a little more something for me.
What do you mean by important?
Like, I'm talking, let's just let a playoff berth get clinched out of this.
You can't do that.
I'm saying if they want excitement and they want it to feel like a playoff atmosphere,
here's the thing.
$500,000 to LeBron is not the same as to like an Andre Jackson Jr., which I get that is an influential amount of money to them. But I don't know what that does for the whole landscape of the NBA as an incentive.
Here's the thing. You can't do that because We've talked about making the regular season better, giving more relevance to it, I think would be the best way to put it. And the league has done a number of things. This is obviously TBD. We'll see how it works out. The player participation policy, another big part of that. I think they've taken steps and at least recognizing this isn't working. We have to address it. First step is admitting you have a problem, right?
Right. Right.
But if you do like a playoff, if we're going to give you an extra home game in the playoffs, we're going to guarantee you make the play-in tournament, something like that, you're de-incentivizing. You're taking one step backward and you're taking away from the remaining regular season games.
For one team.
It's you're still doing it, though, and we're trying to eliminate that for 30 teams.
I don't know, man. I'm keep my expectations low so I can be wowed. That's why.
Story of your life. Speaking of low, point total for the Bucks tonight, 111. Low compared to the 130 that the Raptors put up on them. Not the results we hoped for, but there will be better days, and hopefully the first of those is Friday night when the New York Knicks come to town. Dante DiVincenzo, our old friend. The Villanova Knicks in town Friday night to take on the Bucks. 6:30 tip-off Friday evening. Make note of that tip time. 6:30 tip-off, not a 7 o'clock tip. 6 o'clock is when our pregame coverage with yours truly and Dave Kane begins. And as always, the first in-season tournament post-game edition of Bucks Talk will come up immediately after that game concludes. So do stick around and join us for that. My thanks to everybody for tuning in tonight. Rough result, but we got through it. My thanks to everybody for listening tonight, to Tommy Wirtz for producing the show. We will talk to you Friday night with more Bucks Talk.